Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Robert Ford.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is... Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Okay, we get it.
The shot
doesn't
make it
through
to do, people.
yes, sir.
Talking sports with 12 men. Wednesday. Man, December the 13th, it is fly. I always keep saying that. I almost sound like a broken record, but I promise. It seems like the month's always flying by, and it's always good to join you fellas. Another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th, and I'm your host, Andre. Got to check in with my co-host. I'm trying to keep them alive, man, you know, trying to keep them going, man. So it's what we like to do. And let's check in with the guys, fellas. Mr. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Well, I am humbled and embarrassed and ashamed that I waited this long for football to watch the Buckeyes and the Bengals both get trounced this opening weekend. That was tough. I need this pick me up to talk to y'all because, whew, Lord have mercy, that was rough.
Like I said, we are your therapy session, bro. We got you, man. I'm sure we're all going to go through that as well, man. No one talked about that loss versus Georgia Tech versus Tennessee, man. That kind of hurt, but I'll let it roll, man. But it's all good. But I feel your pain. We'll talk about that, JQ. Maybe we're here for kind of a little therapeutic relief, man. So we got you, bro. But anything else besides that, you can be all right? Yeah.
Outside, I'm good. I'm pretty good. I bounced back. My daughter had her first soccer game. I posted it on Facebook. That was hilarious watching the 5 or 6 years old first time playing soccer. That was pure comedy.
I saw that. That's awesome, my brother.
Yeah.
Time heals all wounds.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rob posted a lot of topics that are related to his Saints because he was all excited. He was hanging out, posting pictures. Like, yeah, let's get him safe. And then, you know, like, I noticed that the update starts a little bit later.
I want to be Rob when I grow up is what I want to do. I want to be Rob when I grow up.
No, they ain't talking about that, man. You go to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game every single year, man. I ain't never been the one.
That man said, I'm in Guam. I'm at the new stadium watching the Vikings and the Saints. I was like, look at this dude out here representing on the road in the Saints jersey. I ain't mad.
Rob Ford. That's what he does, man. How you feeling this evening, Rob? What's going on, bro?
Oh, man, you know, obviously doing good. You know, obviously when you're in Houston, you got to get your little Mexican food in, so I got that in today.
There it is.
From the football standpoint, this past weekend, obviously LSU took care of business, but they'll get their first real test after beating BYU in Chattanooga. Now we go on a road to face Mississippi State and Nick Fitzgerald, so we'll get to see what LSU is made of, I think, really this weekend. And see what kind of football team we have. From a fantasy standpoint, in 5 leagues, I won all 5 of my matchups in week 1. So that went well. But then that debacle on Monday night with the Saints. Oh, my goodness. LSU in fantasy, thumbs up. Those Saints, thumbs down.
Wow.
Yeah, that dude there, Sam Bradford, just all pro killing me. I said, come on, man.
Man.
Yeah, let Sam Bradford go.
I ain't never seen Sam Bradford look that good.
Man,
and I played him in the fantasy league against you, JQ.
I know. And he pulled it through. I said, this man, Sam Bradford, is going bananas.
Hold on, Rob. You played him. You played Sam Bradford. That's what you did, bro? Against your Saints?
Against me. Did, against the Saints. And he went nuts.
Oh, man. Wow.
Hey,
sometimes you just
got to
know your personnel.
Hey, right.
You got to
separate business from personal. That's business.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I got to admit, you know, we're both here for therapy.
I forgot to include the fantasy shout-outs in the topics, but maybe we'll squeeze those into in the show if we have time.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm glad Big Mike's on here, too, by the way. I'm sure he's going to have a lot to talk about the Packers versus Falcons, too, man. But we'll talk about that later on. So really quickly, gentlemen, it's a pleasure. We'll kind of get this party started. like we always do, really quickly, if you want to call into the show, as always, and I'm kind of nervous, so I don't know about throwing the numbers out just yet, but because we're still kind of getting over the last couple of weeks here, but 424-243-9519, maybe we'll take a little cessation on that. We are also available on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, and then finally on Facebook, facebook.com/12thmansports, we're talking sports, we're telling you can type it in. You will find us in that arena as well. So, gentlemen, let's kick this off, and let's get it off with an update on Colts QB Andrew Luck. Rob, what you got for me, bro, on this update?
Well, I tell you, if you're the Indianapolis coach, man, boy, that was a debacle. You know, I talk about my Saints being a debacle. Man, that was 10 times worse. And the quarterback situation for the Indianapolis Colts, you know, is it time to give the reins to Jacoby Brissett already? I think you got to at least give him a shot based on what you saw.
He can't be no
worse. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what was that final, 46-9 or something along those lines?
49-7.
Yeah, that was, man, that was ridiculous. And the Colts, they have a lot of issues, obviously. It's not just that Andrew Luck is not there. They have issues on defense. They have issues on the offensive line. They have weapons on the perimeter, but Frank Gore is only 30 years past his prime. And so you got a lot of issues there in Indianapolis right now. So even when Luck comes back, I mean, your best bet is to have a decent passing game. And there's going to have to be a quick passing game with that offensive line that they're working with in Indianapolis. So they got a lot of issues. But getting back to the topic here, the status of Andrew Luck, I think you're looking at sometime in October at the earliest before we see him back on the football field. So this shoulder injury is obviously still pretty serious. I don't think he's going to practice this week at all. And so we're at least 4 to 5 weeks away before he's even looking at it, even playing in the game here this season. So this season is already done for the Indianapolis Colts. And like I said, even when he comes back, those other issues are still going to be
Colts
there for this football team.
Man, it's already over, JQ? What? Go ahead, man.
Yeah, no, they're done. When you look at that division with Houston, you know, still having a decent defense, and then, you know, Jacksonville surprisingly putting it on Houston, and Tennessee is everybody's kind of dark horse AFC team. I mean, that's a tough sled in there for them in Indianapolis. I don't know if it's quite that long, and this is why I don't know if it's quite that long, because they took him off the PUP, which would have brought him back after week 6. So if you take him off of that, you feel like he's going to get there before then. So in Rob's timeline, that puts him at about week 5 or week 6. I think it's a little earlier, but it's not this week. I think it's week 4 at best, and I think it's week 4 to 5, but they're hoping probably for week 4. Because you got to feel like if it was week 5, why not take the extra week and let him get fully right and then bring him back in week 7? Like, you take him off the PUP list only to save a week. I don't know if they would do that, if you know, for their franchise quarterback. So to me, that says I think he's coming back in week 3 or 4. I think 3 is too early, to be honest. I really think it's week 4 what they're looking at.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good call. So I'm going to ask you guys a question too. So, you know, obviously, and Rob nailed it on the head. We talked about this kind of a little bit a couple weeks ago, talking about the state of the Colts and the 5 seasons that they had the previous manager, who I think was Ryan Grigsby or something like that. They got the new general manager. Does Chuck Pagano kind of have a pass because of the awful, awful drafting or what happened before?
No.
Or do you think
he doesn't even know who they're playing?
Yeah. Wow.
He doesn't even know who they're playing. This fool said, yeah, the 49ers kicked our butt. Buddy, you played
that
Rams.
I heard that, and that was unbelievable. I couldn't
This is
his last season as the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, which kind of leads us to our next topic. But he won't be the head football coach of the Indianapolis Colts after this season. I mean, he might not even make it to the end of the season the way they fire coaches now. And this is his last hurrah. You know, he might go back to being a defensive coordinator in the league, which, you know, I'm pretty sure he will be. But as far as being a head coach in Indianapolis Colts, he's done. This is it.
It's over. Wow.
He's had a few years to turn this thing around. And like I said, the issues are beyond Andrew Luck. When you look at that football team, the issues are beyond Andrew Luck. He's a defensive coach, and he hasn't fixed that defense in years. That offensive line has been a train wreck for 3 to 4 years now. And we just talked about running back position. Frank Gore is 40 years past his prime. And they haven't fixed all those issues yet.
40, 30 years? Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. They've had to do with, like, the general manager, too, because, like, five seasons, that's why, not the best move. But I'm saying, though, the fact that
you need to give him the right thing.
Go ahead.
You're right, Dre, but the thing about it is, and Rob hit on the head, there are certain things you can't do anything about. The offensive line, okay. The running back being, 43 years old, okay. But that defense is atrocious. Mm-hmm. And before Vontae Davis got hurt, and he's had the problem staying healthy, when he's healthy, he is a lockdown corner. You got to be able to coach him up somewhat. Like, I'm not asking him to make the Colts the top five defense in the NFL, because that's not going to happen. But they can't be 29th and you're a defensive head coach. So, like, you got to be able to coach him up to get him to 18th or 19th. But you got to understand, it's not like, I understand they move cities, but he didn't even have, if he had said the wrong city, okay, I give you that. But he had the wrong team. So that lets me know where you are as a focus. You can't come out there and do that. Like you heard them say San Diego when they meant to L.A. for the Chargers. This dude had the wrong franchise. Like, come on, man. Like, you got to be so bad. You were so ill-prepared that you didn't know who you was playing. When's the last time you heard somebody say the wrong team name as a head coach when talking about who they just lost to? Like, that to me is over.
That was hilarious.
I give you the GM. Man, that's ridiculous. I give you the GM and the things you talked about. But there's some coaching stuff you got to be able to do when you hang your hat as being the defensive coordinator. And you got to know who you're playing. Like, for real, Chuck, you don't know who you're playing today?
Ask Coach Pete 101.
You gotta know who you're playing. If you don't, write it right. Come on, man. You gotta at least write it down on an index card and take it to the press conference with you. Like something. You know what I mean? Like, he's done.
I agree with Rob.
He's done. They got a clean house. I'm just saying, when's the last time you've seen a good head coach reference the wrong team?
That's true. Yeah, Chuck, bro. I tried, man, but clearly the decks are stacked to get you, bro. Oh, man. We'll talk about that too. So, well, speaking of the next phase, like Rob talked about, so I guess apparently this is going to be the next step. So the Colts need to hire Jim Harbaugh for Andrew Luck. So Rob, I don't think this is going to happen. I think he's comfortable where he's at. But go ahead, you have the floor, and then stay tuned. JK, I know how your thoughts are, but go ahead, Rob, on this point.
Well, obviously Jim Harbaugh and Andrew Luck had a lot of success, and that's really what kind of revived that Stanford football program. Was that combination. So, obviously, I think if the opportunity presented itself down the road, it could be a possibility. I don't think it will happen after this season. I think Jim Harbaugh still has some unfinished business at Michigan before he's going to consider another NFL job. Mm-hmm. I think he wants to see that program have some kind of success. I don't know if success is going to be a Big Ten championship. I don't know if success is going to be a national championship. But I really think that's what he wants at this current time. He wants to see him turn that program around at Michigan, I think, before he goes back to the National Football League. I do think he's going to go back at some point. I don't know if it's going to be too late. But if the Colts could convince him, I think he would be the perfect fit to turning that organization back around, because I think he's going to get the best out of Andrew Luck, and I can promise you he's going to do a good job of getting those other areas in that program turned around as well. I mean, you look at, obviously it's still early in the season with this Michigan team, and there's no doubt about it, he's got a collection of 4- and 5-star recruits on that Michigan program, but they lost a lot of key pieces from that program last year. And it don't look like they've missed a beat thus far. And it might even be slightly better. We'll have to see when they get to the meat of the schedule. But obviously, he would be the perfect fit for the Colts and for Andrew Luck if they're able to get him. But like I said, I think the only way they can get him at the end of the season, he's going to have to win a Big Ten or a national championship before I think he even considers leaving Michigan. And he doesn't have neither one at the moment.
JQ disagrees. Go ahead, bro.
I do. I disagree, and this is totally objective. And whether he stays or not, if I'm being honest, I hate that team, and you know who I'm talking about. But in order for the Big Ten to be respectable, those two teams have to be good. So I'm not going to say that. It's kind of that yin and yang. If I hate you, but I need you to be good for that win to mean something, that applies to both schools. This is why I disagree. I feel like he has restocked the cupboard. So even if he doesn't win there, they aren't devoid on talent for all the things that Rob just said. He's got talent in Ann Arbor, and he's produced it to the NFL. So he's got them back in the national consciousness. And, oh, yeah, he's got the majority brand. Don't ever forget that for 17- and 18-year-olds trying to make a decision. So when you have that, if they make a good hire, if he chooses to leave, that hire can pick up that momentum and keep it going. This is why I think he could leave Indianapolis. And you touched on it, Dre, about the GM. The problem that he had in San Francisco is that he didn't really want to share. He wanted to be Bill Parcells. He wanted to be the GM and the coach. Now you're looking at Indianapolis. Oh, what's a franchise that needs a strong GM and a coach? The Indianapolis Colts. And he has.
If you want me to cook the dinner, you got to let me buy the groceries too.
Exactly. I think he could go to Indianapolis and say to them, I need all of it, but you, like Rob said, you see what me and Andrew Luck did at Stanford. I can do that, but if you also allow me to pick the players, I've got an eye for talent. Look at all the talent I got to come to Ann Arbor. And it's not necessarily the same in terms of drafting because people get drafted before you who you might want in a one night. But if you're talking about an evaluator of talent and putting that together with his relationship with Andrew Luck, and he's able to get that information, that's what it's going to take for him to leave Ann Arbor to go to the NFL to be able to have full control. There's not a lot of franchises that you can go to and get full control. But right now, in this space and time, Indianapolis is a franchise he could go to and get full control. So I'm not going to discount that and say that. If you're Indianapolis and you need a joke and you got somebody out there that played for the Suffolk, he played for the Colts, real quiet-like.
Yep.
And
that's
got
that's a good point.
And he's got the relationship with the quarterback, and they've got a definite vacuum in terms of leadership and evaluated talent. If you check all three of those boxes and they pay him a good amount to leave Michigan and hold both of those titles, will he leave? I think he leaves in a heartbeat because he feels like he's left with enough talent to compete moving forward and raise their profile back to where they're not sitting there as a last spot like they were under Brady Hoke. But it's only a few franchises that can make that happen. Indianapolis right now, given their current state and Andrew Luck on that roster, I think is one of the franchises that can lure him out of Michigan.
Thing you got to look at here, too, is, I mean, you make a good point about he actually played for the Colts, and he actually has the Andrew Luck factor there as well. But Michigan is also his alma mater, too. But I think if you're the Indianapolis Colts, you have to at least have the conversation.
Yep.
You absolutely have to get on the phone with Jim Harbaugh. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And so whether he says yes or whether he says no, if you're the coach, you have to pick up that phone and talk to Jim Harbaugh and give him the opportunity to take that job. There's no doubt about that. And I think we can all agree on that. So the interesting thing is, will he accept the job? And
would they offer?
You made a good point about him playing for the Colts. I even forgot about that, to be honest. But Michigan is his alma mater, and then he actually played for the Colts. So, I mean, you're talking about a really tough decision there that he would have to deal with.
And it's about what they offer. I agree. I don't know if he leaves to go it's not laterally because Michigan is a good job in the landscape of college football. But if you're going to Indianapolis to just be the head coach, it's a slight upgrade from Michigan football to the Colts, but if just head coaching wise. But if you're going to let me be the head coach and the GM, which you know he wants to do, he wants to have full autonomy. He wants to have that Pete Carroll kind of thing, and they can spin it and say that he and the GM are, co-GMs or whatever they want to do to make the GM that's there now feel good about keeping his job because he's still not going to have final say if you get Jim Harbaugh. If the Colts don't offer that, I agree with Rob. I don't think he leaves Ann Arbor quite yet until he feels like he's bringing them something special there, a Big Ten title, championship, whatever. But if the Colts say, hey, we know what you are able to do. You're a good evaluator talent. You have a good relationship with the quarterback. We're going to let you have the keys to the kingdom. I can't see him because I don't feel like he's left Michigan in a bad place. And I hate Michigan, don't get me wrong, but he's brought talent to Michigan. Whoever comes in behind him, that's a good job. You're going to be able to get top-level candidates for that job. They can take that momentum and run and take the ball and run with it, what he's brought them back to. He can still look back as the head coach and GM in Indianapolis and look north and say, you know what, I started that revival and he finished it, but everybody that's worth a damn knows that I started that revival. So I'm going to always get credit for that. And if he can do that and get credit for that and go to the Colts and get Andrew Luck and him turned around, think about where that puts him. He's put two franchises, basically, back in on the momentum arm to the path of being relevant. So, I mean, if you could say that about one, that's great. If you could say that about two, think about the ego boost that gives you.
If you want me to cook the dinner, you got to let me buy the groceries, too.
That's what it comes down to, where they let him be the GM. That's what, really what it comes down to.
How long has he been in Michigan? Has he been in, like, 2 years or 3 years? How long has he been there, guys?
Third season.
Wow.
Third season.
That's not so that hasn't been too long. So I don't know if there's like some type of thing in the contract to, you know, for him to get out of that too. But you know.
Oh,
I'm
you
sure.
stop enjoying the game the money.
Oh, contracts are made to be broken. So I mean, that's
he's got money.
Talking about some things. He's got money.
He won't even spend his own money on the buyout. He won't even spend his own money on the buyout. He won't.
The Colts are really serious. They'll pay that buyout fee. If Harbaugh is willing to accept that job and the Colts are really serious about him, the Colts will pay that buyout fee.
So it's interesting because, like I said, we talked about the kind of like this kind of seems like a tailor-made fit job for Jim Harbaugh too. So, you know, the Colts, like you said, I agree, man. Let Michigan let him get to the season. Like, hey, you know, by the way, and, you know, start your farewell tour, bro, and just kind of, like, get it set up. Because, like you said, JQ, if they make the offer and you're like, hey, here's everything that you want on the plate, you get back in the NFL, you got to kind of prove some doubters wrong that didn't understand you, that thought you kind of, like, left San Francisco prematurely. And San Francisco still wasn't – they're still kind of in a state of, you know, whatever. You talk about a perfect scenario for everyone. That's kind of what this job looks like, too, man. So, again – and Chuck Pagano, bro, all you do is keep that going. You just mess it up, man. So, yeah, good
Done.
Call on that. And, yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on this situation because I definitely agree with both of you guys that we may have broke some news here as far as, you know, say September the 13th that Jim Harbaugh is going to be the next coach of the Indianapolis Colts in 2018. So, all good.
Good
talk, Rob. Yeah. Let's talk about this, the top five NFL teams after week one. You want to lead off with this one, JQ?
You know, I don't know, to be honest, because we talked about our picks. There's no way on God's green earth that without Kansas City on ring night will roll into Foxborough and put a beatdown on the Patriots. Like, that was a whooping. Yeah. Let's just not kid ourselves that was a whooping. So, you know, I still feel like New England is up there, but, you know, you got to put Kansas City in that conversation. I mean, you might – it may not be sexy, but that's as impressive a win as we've seen in the past couple of years to me, to go in there on ring night into Brady and Belichick's home turf and whoop them like that. So I feel like I got to put them up there. I feel like I keep New England there. I feel like Atlanta just sleptwalked through Chicago, but they finally they won, you know, so it's going to still be – at the end of the day, nobody's going to remember that. Green Bay has probably got the second best victory, I think, because we know about Aaron Rodgers, but that defense was outstanding against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. So, and Pittsburgh kind of slept walk also through Cleveland, so it's like, it's week one, so I'm not really necessarily want to change too much. I think I'll probably change out my fifth one with Tennessee and put in Kansas City because I feel like they just deserve that love. But even the 0-1 New England, I still keep up there. I keep Pittsburgh in there. I keep Atlanta in there. And I still feel like I keep Seattle in there because that defense was phenomenal as well. And Seattle's got to work on some O-line issues, but they went into Lambeau and played a competitive game. They lost. But it just goes to the fact that maybe we underestimate the Green Bay defense. So, you know, I think I keep them all up there, but I take out Tennessee and put Kansas City in its place.
Yeah, I mean, even what about Oakland? I mean, Oakland, Denver. I mean, are they up there as well too. Kind of on.
I mean, Denver. Don't get me wrong. Denver was good, but I don't know if I put them up there. Oakland, definitely for sure. Yeah, but I mean, it's five places, but we can agree that for those five places, we all feel like there's a 7-team kind of race for the top five that you feel, you know, remiss if you don't put the other two in that conversation because they're worthy, or maybe a third team as well. Like there's like an 8, and then there's a drop off, you know, because. And Tennessee just didn't do enough. But it's week one, but I still feel like it's still the same. But we got to put Kansas City in there because that is as impressive win as I've seen in a long time.
Very impressive. Go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts, bro.
Well, just I totally agree. It's really hard to come up with a five after week one. It's obviously still way too early in the season. Still a lot of things to take place, but I'm just going to go off based off what I've seen in week one and the eye test, and I'm going to put Oakland number one. I mean, I know Andre just brought them up, but right now They were that team where I had them going to the AFC Championship game against New England and losing. And there are a lot of experts that really think this team could go to the Super Bowl. And we all on this show on last week picked them to go on the road to Tennessee and lose. And I know one of the things that I said, and I think we all agreed, that it's not that we thought Tennessee were a better team than Oakland, but we just thought going cross-country and Tennessee being a really good team will win that game at home. That was impressive to me, that them go on the road and beat what we thought was a pretty good Tennessee team in Tennessee, on Tennessee's home turf. And it goes back to, if you look at Oakland, they have the pieces. They have the quarterback. We have to see if Marshawn Lynch could be anything like his old self. I know he had a decent game on Sunday. We're not going to say he had a great game. That offensive line is, like I said, either the best or the second best in the business. You have the pass rusher in place. So the pieces are in place for that team to be very successful. So just off the eye test and just off the week one, I just moved them up to the number one spot.
Wow.
As JQ mentioned, Green Bay was very impressive. Obviously, they were at home, but that was still very impressive the way their defense played in it. So that's got to be a very bright spot if you're Mike McCarthy and the Packers, if that defense can play like that the entire season. And you just know that, obviously, they're not going to be facing the Seattle defense like that every week. So you know their offense is going to be better. So yeah, you got to put the Green Bay Packers the number two position. And Kansas City is number three. I mean, the team, the way they just destroyed the Patriots, they moved the ball up and down the field on that Patriots defense. And Alex Smith had four touchdown passes. And also, they held Tom Brady to zero touchdown passes. So I know the Patriots still, you know, scored a decent amount of points, but to prevent Brady from having any touchdown passes, you also got to give credit where credit is due for that. And number four, the Dallas Cowboys. It looked like they might have Zeke Elliott for the full season. And I think most importantly, what I was most impressive about the Cowboys was the way their defense played the other night. Now, obviously, the Giants didn't have Odell Beckham Jr., but still I was impressed with the physicality of their defense against the Giants. They won on the line of scrimmage. They won on the back end. And so, and that was one of the major concerns that we had for the Cowboys this season, was that secondary and how they were going to be able to play. Obviously, it's just 1 week, but we're just going to base it off of 1 week for right now. So I have them in the number four spot. And number five, I have Atlanta in the fifth spot. As JQ mentioned, wasn't totally impressive, but Austin Hooper was impressive. I have to say those stiff arms were pretty nice. that was pretty classic. I give credit where credit is due. But, I mean, overall, it wasn't an impressive victory, but you still have, they are still the reigning NFC champions, and they go on the road and get a win on opening week. And so you can't take too much from that. So I still have them in the top five as well. Obviously, it's still early. A lot of football to be played. But that's just based off of what we saw here in week one.
Yep, good call, gentlemen. And eventually, too, we'll talk about this because we can keep going about our week one kind of thoughts because – and I heard someone say this earlier, too, is the fact that there's a lot of new – teams, if you will, because, you know, certain Falcon fans are upset, you know, as far as, man, we were supposed to go in there and roll against Chicago, but Chicago's a different team from last year, you know. A lot of teams are different from last year. You know, you go in with these expectations. And
you know what,
certain,
that Chicago,
you know,
defense.
But, yeah. Yeah,
was
it's a lot better.
Just
know?
As good,
yeah,
as the Tampa Bay
really
defense
good.
Down the stretch last year. Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. So it's just, I'm just saying, you're just, that's a great point, too. And just teams have, you know, evolved, and, you know, even Rob talks about this as we go, and there's going to be different squads because there's going to be, like, six new teams, whatever. So it's just teams get better, and you have to kind of account for that, too. And we'll talk about some surprises, too, guys, because I got to tell you, there's some, you know, some teams that you're looking at. If you're the Cardinals, just kind of like the epic fail, and then also losing, you know, David Johnson, that was a huge blow for them. You know, we'll talk about what's happening with Houston and the Jaguars because I'm sure – that was an unexpected, you know, when the Jaguars beat the Texans. I don't think I picked that. Yeah.
No.
And you're like, what? You know, and then obviously, they, you know, that made them make a change. And the Deshaun Watson errors happened a little quicker because we thought it was going to be like week four. But, you know, obviously it's like week one. And then it's easy to pick on the Browns. But I got to be honest, you know, spotting, you talked about sleepwalking, JQ. Yeah, and this is a squad – for the first time, I'm going to actually say, if you're Cleveland, it looks like they're getting everything right, guys, because they have a really strong offensive line, and then they drafted well. So you got Deshaun Kizer. He looks like he looks the part, and he's actually playing well, a lot better than Brock Osweiler. And I was looking at the game. I was like, man, this guy, he actually looks pretty good. So Cleveland, they're actually
– I think they found the QB. I really do.
You've got hope. You got hope. And if you look at that squad, they solidify, like, we're going to have a strong offensive line. Boom. They've got veterans all across that line. And now they got that running game that's they're going to get that sustain. So if you're looking at Cleveland, like, man, they actually they did it right. And they got a lot of talent. And we're still going to, you know, figure out what's happening with Myles Garrett. I'm not going to call him a bust just yet. But right now, you know, it looks like they've done good as far as, you know, getting some pieces and getting a lot of talent in that squad too. So I don't know if you want to talk about that as well, gentlemen. And are you surprised before we go in? And then we'll talk about the debacle that Rob's going to discuss too. So go ahead, man. I don't know if you want to jump on that. Anyone want to take that as well?
Well, just to comment about the Cleveland Browns here real quick before we move on, I think the thing that they have to look at as an organization is how do we build sustained success through the draft. When you look at their last – I don't have the stats in front of me, but when you look at their last 7 or 8 drafts, they only have – and I'm going to throw this draft out of the window because I think they had 3 first-round picks in this particular draft this past season.
They sure do. No, they
but
got
in the
like
past
7 or 8
drafts, they only have one of those first-round picks still on the team. And
wow.
So they have to have sustained success through the draft few more years. And obviously, like I said, they had 3 first-round picks in this current draft, so those guys are still on the team. And I don't think Myles Garrett is going to be a bust either. I think, obviously, he got an injury early in the season, but I think he's going to be a heck of a pass rusher in the National Football League. As well. So I don't think he's going to be a bust, but they have to have sustained success through the draft. They have to hit on these first-round picks and all for the long haul if they're going to be successful. Like I say, if you look at their last 7 or 8 first-round picks, only one of them is still on the roster, and you cannot be successful in the National Football League.
But you know what? They got a lot of draft capital moving forward, though, because all the trades and moving down they've done. I want to say they have, like, 6 picks in the top. It's something ignorant in this draft coming up and the one afterwards. Like they you're right. They got to hit on these picks, but they've got a lot of draft capital in the next 2 drafts. If they hit on those picks, Sasha and Hugh might have hit on something. They might be turning it around. I hate to say that, but they may not be the laughing stock for too much longer because they've been trying to maneuver. The Hayden was a little wonky. I think they could have done some things behind the scenes to try to get some value for him instead of just cutting the line and going to a division rival in Pittsburgh. But I think they still have a lot of good draft capital, and they're trying to make some moves. So, you know, don't sleep on them. But they got to, you know, to go to a Philadelphia saying, they got to trust the process and don't get a knee-jerk reaction and know that you got a long haul from where you were and allow that thing to work its way out.
Trust the process. All I was saying was that I wasn't saying that Miles was a bust. I'm saying just keep an eye on that because right now, you know, he's been injured a lot. So you hopefully that he's going to do some things too. Fair enough.
I'm like, bro,
you know, because, you know, like I said, but we'll keep an eye on that. But they have a lot of talent, is what I'm saying, too. But week one, very interesting, gentlemen, as we talked about. So, you know, again, we'll kind of do our recaps as far as our thoughts because it's always surprising in the NFL for sure, all the moves that's been happening, everything like that as well, too. But again, so Rob was at the Vikings, and there's a lot of controversy that happened after that game from Adrian Peterson, and I know, Rob, you've probably seen a lot of that in New Orleans with, you know, him going back and forth with Sean Payton, and, you know, is it a situation where Father Time has caught up with Adrian Peterson? Do you think he still got it? Apparently, I'm throwing some shade for Rob for this, but, yeah, Rob, that's what's happening, bro.
Well, I think the Sean Payton, Adrian Peterson exchange, I think that particular instance has really been blown out of proportion. But when you look at Adrian Peterson's performance, his performance has not been blown out of proportion by any stretch of the imagination. I've mentioned twice.
He had 9 carries, bro.
And I've mentioned twice. I know I've mentioned it over the summer, and I just mentioned it on a recent show. I don't know if it was last week or the week before. But based on what I've seen from my eyes last season and what I've saw of Adrian Peterson in the preseason and what I've saw from Adrian Peterson on Monday night, he's clearly not the same running back. And I think the Saints are making a mistake, even including him in the rotation right now. I mean, it should be a 1-2 rotation. It should be Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram. That's it. And obviously the Saints have a lot of other issues. I think if they can get to that 1-2 and maybe use Peterson in a pinch down on a goal line situation or something like that, but Kamara and Ingram has got to be the two guys that rotate. They have to build some kind of rhythm as opposed to rotating three backs. But and obviously the Saints right now are banged up on the offensive line. Their defense is still atrocious. And they got to the red zone five times, got inside the 10-yard line four times, and only got one touchdown out. They settled for way too many field goals the other night. So they have a lot more issues than this, but I think this is one issue I think they can fix by removing Adrian Peterson out of the rotation altogether or just release him.
Oof. You got to prime the pump, bro. You can't give him like 9 carries, bro. He's the type of guy, you got to give him like 20 carries, man, and keep it going, bro.
He's
come
not
on,
that
man.
Back anymore, Andre. He's not
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah. So, real quick.
Stevie Wonder can see that.
Okay. So real fast, I just wanted to look it up so I can give you the stats. The Browns have 13 picks in the 2018 draft, with 5 of them being in the first 2 rounds. They got 2 first round picks and 3 second round picks. So just to tie a bow on that, they've got a chance to really be ridiculous if they get those right. But to Adrian Peterson, I agree with Rob wholeheartedly. I mean, this is somebody that's not a Saints fan, but I like Adrian Peterson. My word, he's. Running backs hit a wall and they fall off of it quickly. And there's no, you know, quiet, you know, fall. And Frank Gore is just an anomaly. We make fun of him, but he's had a more of a long, a sustained success, to use Rob's word, over these past couple years than a lot of older backs would love to have. Adrian Peterson looks like he's done. He really does. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's done. Alvin Kamara looks like you can't pound him 20 times a game. I think him and Ingram could be a nice, solid, young 1-2 punch in that backfield. And I agree with Rob. I think that's what it should be. Adrian Peterson is a wrap. And I hate to say that, but and Mike, I know we're all aboard, but if you watch that game objectively, even if you wanted him to do well, but you watch that game objectively, he looks like he's running in quicksand. He doesn't have a burst. Mm-hmm. He's not really bowling people over like he used to. He's living on name alone, really, right now.
Wow. Wow. I got you. So there goes me trying to just, you know, keep the benefit of the doubt too, man. But
he's a wrap.
Wow. He's a wrap. It's a wrap. Man, Adrian Peterson is clearly past his prime. We'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on that, bro, because, man, you talk about just a disappointing end of the career for somebody that we thought
that talented.
It's just that's rough. Anything else you want to talk about, Rob? Adrian Peterson? Should he be upset about Zach carries?
Well,
nah, you know.
He shouldn't have had that many carries.
Had to see, Rob. We had to see. Come on, Rob. Come on.
He's clearly at best the third best running back on that roster, and I just think you can't rotate 3 backs the way they're doing. Yes, rotate 2. But, you know, we don't need to be rotating those 3 guys the way they're rotating them.
Not now.
I mean, yeah.
Not now.
Absolutely.
Not after you saw. Not after what you saw. I agree with them trying to see, because you feel like you can get a spark and spell him a little bit, but he doesn't look like he has it anymore. And that's not from a standpoint of glee and rejoicing in him losing his, you know, mark on the game, so to speak. But happens. You know, like we said, Father Time is undefeated. And notch another one to the Father Time undefeated belt, because Adrian Peterson is done, and it's okay to say that without saying, oh, you're being premature, you're being hateful. I agree with Rob. I think Ingram is your early down back, and probably still probably goal line back for right now. And Kamara is a back that you use like Christian McCaffrey, so to speak, with A. Johnson Stewart right now. That's what you do for those two. I think that's your best 1-2 punch for Drew Brees, and let Drew Brees do what Drew Brees does. Because he's going to have to do it. And what's really going to happen is Kamara is going to get a lot of the play, because that Saints defense, especially that secondary, and I was hoping they'd be better with Von Bell and Lattimore, you know, just selfishly as an Ohio State fan, but they're awful.
So you're going to get into the second quarter and the third quarter, and you're going to be having to play a little bit more catch-up and fast tempo and doing a lot more passing. You're going to see Kamara get a ton of touches, mostly out of the backfield on swing and wheel routes and those things, because they're trying to get back in the game or stay in the game as opposed to being able to pound Ingram to hold a lead. And that's what Adrian Peterson really was great at in his prime, is that when we were playing competitive football, we could pound him, we could run the ball, we could control the clock, and then we could score. They can't do that with him right now.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Hey, you mentioned Marshawn Lattimore, though. One thing I will say about him is that if you really looked at that game really closely, the Vikings didn't go his way a whole lot. And there's a reason for that. And even in the preseason, teams didn't throw his way a lot. So he's not the weakest link on that secondary. He's actually come in and he's doing a heck of a job.
But you know what I mean.
Von Bell
you know
has been a little bit of a disappointment because it looked like the rookie Marcus Williams has already passed him on the depth chart. And free safety. But definitely Lattimore is holding down his end of the bargain. If it's really your second and third corners where the Saints have to get better. And Lattimore is already the best corner on that team.
Well, you know what I mean. When you got two Ohio State grads, me being an Ohio State fan there, I'm expecting them to go in and solidify spots and make that secondary better. And they just got roasted by Sam Bradford. Sam M.F. and Bradford, they got roasted. And that's why I'm like, as an Ohio State fan, I'm like, come on, man. Y'all are not helping me in any barbershop arguments right now, which you have happened. Y'all supposed to go in there and solidify that. And I'm just saying, you're supposed to go in there and solidify that, and that did not happen. Then they get Tom Brady pissed off after getting whooped by Kansas City. Good luck.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow, it's going to be fun. We got 3 minutes here to talk about some stuff, too, so we're going to do a minute, and we'll get ready to set up the OT portion because we got a lot of things to discuss, too. I will say this, Rob, regarding Adrian Peterson, we've experienced that with Steven Jackson. We thought the same thing, and you talk about somebody hitting the – it's like, whoa, you got old really quickly, bro, for whatever purpose, man. So 100% with you on that as well. Really quickly, I'd like to talk about Deshaun Watson getting his start against your Bengals, JQ.
God damn it.
So, really quickly, Rob. So we got about 40-something seconds. So I don't know if that's enough to fit it in there. So do your thing, JQ, and then we're going to go right into OT, Rob, and we'll continue that going into that too. So go ahead, JQ, about your thoughts about this, what's happening.
Oh, this is
going to
be quick. He just sent us a checklist like, oh, I got one Ohio team last year, Ohio State shut down. Check. Cool, I get the Bengals this week. Check. Yeah, come on, man. I saw that and said, good Lord, have mercy. And I got a whole lot of Clemson fans that's already giving me trash about Clemson destroying Ohio State. Now I get Deshaun Watson against the Bengals on Thursday night. Yeah. Welcome to my life.
Wow. Rob.
Well, I mean, Deshaun Watson did go in that game and lead the Texans to one touchdown drive. But after that, he looked pretty shaky himself. He's still a rookie quarterback. I don't expect him to go in there and dominate the Cincinnati Bengals the way the Ravens did this past week. So I don't expect that. I actually think the Bengals will rebound and probably beat the Texans because I just don't see the – I think it's the right move for the Houston Texans starting Deshaun Watson. There's no question about it. I mean, Tom Savage just didn't have nothing, and you shouldn't have expected nothing from him in the first place. But so I think it's the right move. I think as you see the season goes along and the season progresses, I think you'll see Deshaun Watson get better as a quarterback and be that quarterback that the Texans envision him being long-term. But I just don't see it right away just yet. So I think, you know, for the Bengals, I think they'll pull this game out on tomorrow night. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show, ladies and gentlemen. So we can't give you this portion of the show live, but we got a lot of football to talk about. We still got more NFL, more college football that we're going to cover in the OT portion. Click on the same link on tomorrow, people. We got a lot more football to talk about. Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know if you like the show, dislike the show. Let us know if you agree with what we're talking about, disagree with what we're talking about. So definitely follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Good night, people. We'll be back on the air next week, Wednesday night, same time, same channel, 11 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Good night.
Love you, good people. Talk to you later.
Jake, your gift is short and simple, too. So, Jake, you didn't have any confidence with the squad, too, but it's all good, bro. We
listen,
will show you some love,
listen,
man, you know.
Listen, I want my Bengals. Actually, I'm not going to say that on the air, but they are going to let Deshaun Watson lead the fourth quarter comeback and win on Thursday night. Mark my words, I wish we could have a call for like 15, 20 minutes tomorrow night so I could just laugh for like 5 minutes of it. Because I just I'm being honest with you. What they have, that was despicable for a home opener against Baltimore. Andy Dalton, just wow, really. And they don't play Houston good anyway. Well, anyway, I think they're like 0-4 against Houston. I just don't have a whole lot of confidence against a team that you don't have prior history with a good history with, and then you got a quarterback that can make moves with his legs. It's not going to be where I don't think they blow him out, but I think it's close. I think Deshaun Watson makes a play to get Houston to win, and Andy Dalton makes a play to get Cincinnati to loss. Just watch, because that's who Andy Dalton is. That's who he is.
All right. All right. Well, like you said, you know, while JQ is over there discussing quarterback controversies over there, or not controversies, but quarterback issues.
Controversy.
But, yeah. There it is. All right.
I'm honest.
We'll see, Rob. We're gonna keep an eye on JQ that Thursday too, man. See how everything plays out, bro. All right. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. And this is an interesting topic. Is he more valuable than his quarterback?
Yes.
You would think after what happened, yeah. So JQ's already spinning out. Go ahead, boss. Your thoughts, man.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Yes, without Odell out there, where they have to send one and most likely two guys to spy on him and to cover him, asking Eli with a rookie tight end and Ingram, putting that on his plate, and Brandon Marshall just, where are you, Brandon Marshall? You know what I mean? Like, come on, Carmen San Diego. Like, where are you at? Like, that was ridiculous. And they just put that Giants defense that we talked about, I think, is a really good defense, in a bind because they just couldn't stay on the field and keep those guys fresh. I don't think that's more of an indictment of the Giants defense. I think it's more of an indictment of Eli Manning and everybody behind him. Sterling Shepard is only good when Odell's out there to draw the attention. I think Brandon Marshall will be better when Odell's out there to draw the attention. But without him, without that game-changing ability out there on the perimeter, and Dallas knows it, and they just sit in the routes and not having to send a safety over top to Odell every time, exposed. I think Eli has also hit the wall. And I think as we get a little further into this, I think that defense is going to be like, come on, Eli, where you might get that defense versus offensive rift in the locker room because they're going to be like, man, we are out here balling, but you aren't giving us a chance. And Odell's going to have to be really special when he gets back, and that's going to take, I think, a couple weeks because he's dealing with an ankle sprain or something to that effect. It's Eli, man. He's more, yeah, OBJ is more viable than Eli right now. Eli has hit that wall, I believe.
Go ahead, Rob. Wow.
I agree. I think Odell Beckham is definitely more valuable than the quarterback on that team. And in my personal opinion, I don't think Eli Manning has ever been a great NFL quarterback. I know he's won two Super Bowls, and his teams have gotten on two hot streaks and winning those Super Bowls. But I've never put him in the great status like his brother Peyton, of course. And I think his team, he just got in the right situation at the right time where his team just got hot. And most of those instances, his defense carried him. But definitely Odell Beckham not having that weapon really hurt them in that game the other night. And I didn't think the Giants were going there with Beckham. But he's definitely the more valuable player when you look at that that football team, and Eli Manning. Let's face it, he's been mistake prone too a good portion of his career. I mean, he's had fumbleitis when he gets sacked, so we know that's always been the issue. And he's thrown a double and triple coverage, and he's always got the deer in headlight looks on his face.
Yes,
and,
sir.
He does have that work.
So I never considered him to be great. I think, you know, he's been good enough for them in a lot of situations, but never in that great status. So I would definitely say Odell Beckham is a more valuable piece, even with all his antics. And I'm not just saying that because he's the LSU guy. But even with all his antics, to me, he's the more valuable piece in that New York Giants offense.
It's obvious. I mean, it's obvious. And I was one of those people when Eli won the second one, because even when it got hot, he still made plays. Don't get me wrong, David Tyree saved his bacon. But he made plays in those streaks where you were like, okay, Eli, you know, that throw to Plaxico Burress, that throw to Mario Manningham. That throw to Mario Manningham was a dime to steal that from Trent Dilfer. I know he's sitting there pissed off, laid off from ESPN, but that was a dime to Manningham that people don't realize that put them in that position to throw it, I think, to Plaxico Burress for the touchdown. But right now, given what's happening and what we saw, Odell's his security blanket. And we talk about the antics, and I think it just comes with the wide receiver position. For the most part, you get your Calvin Johnsons and your Larry Fitzgeralds, who are those above the fray kind of guys. But for the most part, you got your Chad Johnsons and your OBJs and your Terrell Owens, and that's just who they are. But his production and what he can do on the field and the way the defense has to respect him changes the game for everybody else involved in the game. And the thing about it is, you know what, if I'm going to be honest with you, be real honest with you, I think he could have played. Did you watch him warm up and they showed it? I think he could have played. I think he sent the Giants management a message that said, okay, you don't want to give me my contract and I'm making more money off the field than I am on the field. You don't want to extend me right now? Okay, I got something for that. Yeah, I'm hurt. And I can't play at 73%. I'm not going to play. And look what happened. Remember when Emmitt Smith held out and they resigned him after, you know, week three?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be surprised
mm-hmm.
if OBJ doesn't get an extension through the season, early in the season, after seeing what just happened. They can't let that guy walk out the building.
They cannot. Yeah, good call. So, Rob, I'm going to ask you this question. After seeing what happened, and it could just be like just a tough, you know, opener, but are the Vikings for real? And just how much as I hate the they started out hot last season too, but are they for real with the full off season with Sam Bradford? What's your call on this, Rob?
I'm going to say no. I'm not going to say just, you know, beating the Saints by 10 points at home, putting them in the for real category. So I'm going to say no. And as you mentioned, they did start 5-0 last season, then it tanked toward the end of the year. I think they have a pretty good defense, and I think their defense can keep them in a lot of games this season. I mean, they are one of the few teams that can really rush four and get to the quarterback, which there's not a lot of teams in the National Football League that can really do that. And so that's going to keep them in a lot of games. But I'm not going to say – I still think they're probably a 500 team when it's all said and done this season. So, somewhere around 8-8. Like I say, just because their defense is going to be good, it's going to keep them in a lot of games. But I don't see Sam Bradford and that offense doing to a lot of teams what they did to the Saints the other night at home.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call. Go ahead, Jackie.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And it goes a little farther for me in that is that we haven't seen that defense be stressed yet. They went against another defense that was just horrible, to be honest. I mean, and sorry, Rob, but he knows his normal defense is horrible. They're horrible. So when you put that in there and you make Sam Bradford look like the next coming of whatever great you want to throw in there, what happens when they go play Green Bay or play or somebody, you know, outside the division with a top-notch defense where their defense gets stressed because they're on the field so much longer, where Sam Bradford can't just do whatever he wants against a subpar defense. That if they do that in multiple games against a above average to not necessarily great, above average to really good defense, and he's able to make those throws under duress and when the team has to have it because that other defense is playing just as good as their defense is playing, if not better, then I will put them in that for real category. But to do that against New Orleans at home on the opening weekend, I can't put them in that category yet because they haven't faced a true stress test.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I still think they're the third best team in their own division. The Packers and the Lions, I think, are still the
Lions.
Two best teams.
Wow.
In the division.
Came out of nowhere playing. That was amazing, too, as well. Yeah, good call. All right, gentlemen, we got about 7 minutes here. Let's talk about these predictions here that we got going into this for the NFL. Bills at Panthers is the next game. What say you, Rob?
I think Carolina goes 2-0, winning this game at home. Not a whole lot more I want to say about that one.
that's a fantastic start of the season by the schedule makers. At San Francisco and home to the Bills, Carolina 2-0.
Now, I think the Bills are a much better team now. I will say that, but I still think Carolina wins at home.
Carolina wins by 10.
Shady.
Okay, sorry. Who's the quarterback?
Yeah.
And then we'll come back to that.
They went by 10.
Vikings at Steelers. We're just talking about this, JQ.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Stress test. And I think this is where it comes into play. And that Steelers defense is not a bonded Steelers defense. But that offense could put so much pressure on that Vikings defense. Like, it's like, yeah, not to say the Saints defense is, the Saints offense isn't really good. But when you talk about Roethlisberger and the Bell and Antonio Brown, that's a different test, I think, for this Vikings defense. I think Minnesota covers. No. I think Minnesota covers the spread, but I think Pittsburgh wins.
Okay. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I like the Steelers in this game at home. Yeah, I don't see Sam Bradford going off on the Steelers the way he did the other night.
That's
right.
Eagles at the Chiefs. We talked about the surprising Chiefs. And also, Eagles did some things as well. Were pretty surprising, too. So, go ahead, Rob.
Andy Reid bowl.
Yeah.
I like the Chiefs in this game. I think the Chiefs have got pieces on defense. I think Andy Reid utilizes his pieces on offense very well. I think he makes the best of his personnel, and I think the Chiefs win this game.
Man, you talk about somebody playing for his job, competition. Al Smith, you ain't getting my job, Patrick Mahomes. Go ahead, JQ.
Hey, listen, that's real talk right there. That dude was focused for touchdowns against the Patriots on ring night. That is a real talk right there. I think it's another one that's like with Minnesota. I think the Eagles, that play by Carson Wentz in the pocket against the Redskins where he dodged two defenders and bought himself time and then found Nelson Aguilar just naked running down the seam against them, that is a kind of coming-of-age kind of play for a quarterback. But Kansas City going on the road to New England, just I cannot pick them against them at home against the Eagles. I think the Eagles cover the spread, but I think the Chiefs win.
Yeah, Rob.
I agree.
Right.
I thought I gave my prediction on this one already.
He did. He already gave the Chiefs.
Okay, my bad.
Yep.
Okay. I thought you wanted to ask them about that too as well. Okay, my bad. All right, Cowboys at Broncos. Pretty good. This is a great test. I mean, we were thinking that the Giants could come in. I was wrong about that one. So, Rob, what are your thoughts on this one?
I think the Cowboys going to roll to win this game.
Yes, sir.
I really do think they go on the road. I think they go on the road and they beat the Broncos in Denver.
I think Zeke has a ridiculous game. If you watch Melvin Gordon, he was really having his way until they fell behind and they had to kind of abandon that run game in the second half due to, you know, just the craziness that happened in that Chargers game. But I think Dallas can go in there and not try to feel like Zach Prescott has to win that game against the no-fly zone. If there's a way that you can beat Denver, it's by running the ball. And the Cowboys have the best offensive line in the NFL. Mm. They've got Ezekiel Elliott, Cowboys.
Mm. All right. Finally, let's wrap it up, Packers at Falcons. What say you, JQ?
Whew. Man, listen. I think that is the game of the weekend. I really do. And we talked about some good ones, but given what Green Bay did against Seattle, that Atlanta offensive line, they got some remade parts. Can they hold up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this one I go back and forth with. But, again, I tell you, if you give me a ball and you roll it out and say, which quarterback are you going to take? I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers. I feel like Green Bay finds a way. They come and they spoil the home opener. I'm sorry, Dre, but I feel like they spoil the home opener for Atlanta. I feel like Green Bay wins.
Fair enough. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
I agree. I think it is the game of the weekend as well. And I think it's definitely a very hard game to predict. But I'm going to go with Atlanta as much as I want Green Bay to win the game. But I'm going to say the Atlanta home crowd is going to be in this game. It's their home opener in the new stadium, their home opener in the regular season. So I think it's going to be a tough environment, but I think it's going to be a heck of a football game. I actually think Atlanta's going to have to come from behind at the end and win, and probably win by field goal.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. I'm like that. Yeah, I'm kind of nervous too because this is the one game too because Aaron Rodgers is still not happy how he ended the last game. So they're going back and forth, man. So, you got to wonder how that running game, they're going to be running as much too. Aaron Rodgers got to do his thing. So it was good for us to kind of pull it out versus Chicago, but
Mike Glennon is no Aaron Rodgers, so this is going to be a fireworks game for sure. All right, gentlemen, we're literally pushing right to the top of the hour, so let's get out of these CBS predictions, college football, and maybe we'll talk some fantasy and we'll wrap it up. Number 22, Tennessee at number 24, Florida. Go ahead with this one, Rob Ford.
I tell you, this was not a hard game to predict as well. I know Florida, obviously, you know, is coming over the issues off the hurricanes down in Florida. But
yep.
I think they find a way to win this game against Tennessee. I know Michigan manhandled them pretty good, but I think Florida, you know, obviously is going to come out motivated. Didn't get a chance to play on last week. I think they come out motivated and find a way to beat Tennessee at home. Very close game.
Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you like this. I was at that Tennessee-Georgia Tech game, and that Georgia Tech defense, no disrespect, Dre, is not a world beater. And he kept Tennessee in check for at least 2.5 quarters. And I was sitting there, and I talked to my wife, Erica, and I said, what is happening? Georgia Tech's defense is not this good. Why is Tennessee struggling so bad? I can understand struggling against the triple option when you're on defense. But on offense, they had a lot of problems with that Georgia Tech defense. And if you know one thing about Florida, they got behind and through shoddy quarterback play against a decent Michigan defense. But against that Tennessee defense, I think they find a way. It's a close game. It's an ugly game. It's a ugly game, like a 16-13 kind of just ridiculous. Like, is this game on TV? Good Lord have mercy kind of game. But I think Florida wins.
Yeah, I agree. This is a great game. The Clemson, number 3 Clemson, number 14 Louisville. Wow.
This is a whooping. Clemson, I can't believe the line is 3 points right now still. Louisville barely beat Purdue. No, sir.
Oh.
Clemson, big, by like 21.
Wow. Okay, call the shots. Rob, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and this is the first 2 weekends of college football. We've had some really good top matchups, and these are the only two top 25 matchups. So kind of a little bit of a down weekend for college football, and arguably this is being considered the best game of the weekend, but I have to agree with JQ. I don't think Louisville's got a shot in this game. I think Clemson's going on the road. Clemson personnel is 10 times better than Louisville's outside of the quarterback position. Obviously, you have Lamar Jackson at Louisville, and he's going to make some things happen, but Clemson defense is ferocious. They have the personnel on that defense. They have NFL prospects on that defense. The quarterback, Kelly, is getting better. Obviously, Auburn held him in check a little bit, but that's expected. Clemson just has the better personnel. They're the better team. I don't know if it's going to be 21 points, but I think they definitely win the game comfortably.
20.
All right. We're going to call back JQ and check in about this. 21 points. I'll be looking at that score to make sure. All right, anything as we wrap this up, anything fantasy shout-out-wise that you want to talk about as far as the shout-outs for that, Rob?
All right, fantasy shout-outs. We finished week one in our fantasy football leagues. 12-man sports league 2 co-host JQ, Ohio Players, had the biggest win of the week, 149.2 to turn down 89.58. Yours truly, the Soldiers, in first place. In that league. I don't know how they come up with first place after week one, but they said I'm in first place. I'll take
points.
Oh, points?
Yep. You've got 1-0 record. You got more points than I got.
Gotcha. In 12-man sports league 3, Julius, the Kings team from New Orleans, had the biggest win of the week, 101.98 to winning 52.10. Unger's crew in first place. It's Matthew from Indianapolis holding out first place in that league. And the original 12-man sports league, Lions King from Atlanta, 135 to 79.62 over the Purple and Gold Patrol. Yours truly, Black and Gold, in first place in this league. Last but not least, our new league, Talking Sports with the 12-man league, the biggest winner of the week, Birds Flew South. Over Baby Got Backfield, the Birds Flew South.
Poor.
It's Joseph from Houston with a 121.14 to 78.08 victory. And yours truly is in first place in that league as well. Purple
Baby's
Knight.
Got Backfield?
That's the most important thing. She was upset about starting Tom Brady, and Tom Brady did not represent for her at all. He had no touchdown, man. So she was pretty salty about that. But anyway,
that's a cool name, though. You gotta admit.
Yeah, she was.
No, that's pretty good.
She's like, what happened to my squad? I'm like, yeah, that's what happened to you. So welcome to the thing. And we talked about too, because I had your boy Hill on the bench, man, for the Kansas City. He went off, man. So I'm like, ah. So it's just nuts, man. So
how do you?
It would have been different.
Oh,
well, I just had other guys, you know, at the time. I didn't expect that. You know, we didn't think they were gonna come off like that. I mean, no one predicted that. Seriously, no one.
I feel like
that.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
No. I feel like Tyreek Hill was gonna have a good game. And the only reason why I say is that is because I thought Kansas City would be behind. Mm-hmm. So is that a PPR league? That one.
No, that's our league. It's all. It's like I said. It's just one
yeah,
of
I'm not. I'm not.
Yeah, and that league is a 0.5 per catch.
Okay,
yeah,
so okay,
yeah.
It's a slight PPR.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in that one, but
yeah.
In terms of, you know what I mean. You know, when you get behind,
yeah.
And you got to throw. It's more of a chance of him having to throw. That's what I thought he was going to go off because I thought they were going to
yeah.
be behind and have to just throw. I didn't know that he was going to get, you know, those big ones and they were going to roll New England. I didn't see that coming. So I agree with you on that point.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not belittling
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I don't
hindsight
care
always
have a good
20,
night.
20.
Yeah. Yeah, you
I mean,
feel what I'm saying in terms of being behind.
You're just like, you know, what's happening here? What is going on here? So that's just one of those that, you know, hey, you wish you can kind of have a reset for the week. Like, I would have redid that differently.
Oh,
but, yeah.
Please believe
that's
the people that had
is,
Alex
man.
Smith. In a deep league on the bench behind a starter, and sitting there looking at Alex Smith on the bench like, what did I do wrong this week? Because he went nuts, and nobody started Alex Smith. Nobody. You got to be like in a 20-man league
touchdown.
To start Alex Smith.
Yeah, almost definitely. So it's just one of those. But, yeah, I think I'm going to tell you, because I think I had I want to say – I'll check out my lineup too, because it was one of those that it was like literally I was like, hey, I'll go this guy over this guy. But it was just, you know, either I was stacked wide receiver-wise or – yeah, because I had Brandon Cooks, A.J. Green, Amari Cooper, and that was kind of like my wide receivers over Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, I don't know.
How many people are in that league? And you still got Tyreek Hill? Is it like six people in that league?
Well, that's a small
league.
There's
only four people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
I was
going to
say,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
How?
Everybody's
yeah,
got
now,
him.
Yeah, right. Okay, thank you, Rob.
Because
he said he rounded off those three and said, I still got Tyreek Hill on the bench. I was like, how many people are in this league where –
Yeah, like two. Me and Rob. It's me and Rob in that league by ourselves. No, it's all good.
Yep.
Yeah,
four people total.
Yeah,
all
I
right,
play fantasy football,
fun.
Y'all, so that's where I went with it. So, sorry. That's all.
Yeah.
Just like, wait. I got my hand ready.
Yeah.
Like, how do you have those four guys at wide receiver? That is
JQ,
ridiculous.
Like, in 10 leagues, so he would know about that. All right, gentlemen, let's wrap up the show. It's been fun talking with you. Rob, go ahead and wrap it up, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everybody tuning in. Again, another successful program for Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Once again, we'll be back on the air next week. We're looking at Wednesday night yet again. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. And our friends in Hawaii, aloha, will be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Definitely we're going to have more football, and more football again. NFL
yes, sir.
And college football, we're getting right in the heart of the season. So next week, we will be recapping week two in the NFL, previewing week three. We'll be recapping week three of college football, previewing week four. So you don't want to miss it next week. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Short and simple. I appreciate all y'all for listening to it. Had a ball tonight talking sports with my homeboys. See you next Wednesday.
I'm just happy that you're okay, JQ, man, because it was kind of rough, man. So we've all evolved, too. Yeah, you're good. Okay, all right. It's all good, man. Anyway.
It's all good, bro. I'm good.
He's good. We got the thumbs up. All right, gentlemen. As always, it's been fun. We'll see you guys same time.
I know Baker Mayfield is not welcome back in Columbus.
Hey, man. If I see him, man, he won't have words.
You can have words, strong words.
And like an old person, a strongly worded letter. Me and Baker Mayfield going to have words. And I just going to put that in the lever right there.
You talk about.
Yeah, you can't plant the flag.
You know, that was pretty unexpected. This is definitely not. I know we talked about this really quickly. This is not the same Oklahoma team before under, you know, Bob Stoops. They are doing their thing, man. So, you called it, too, as far as how a good head coach, man. So, yeah, man, this is going to be interesting as well, man. But yeah,
see,
good call.
Rob's trying to get Rob's trying to get me riled up. I'm good. I'm not going to extend the show. I've worked through those issues. I flushed those issues. I'm good. Move on. You know, we all know. Sometimes you have expectations for your team, and they are not who you thought they would be, and you just got to recalibrate that and move forward with it. And that's where really where it is for me with them. But that's disrespectful, though. And I'm rooting for anybody playing against Oklahoma, and I'm just going to put that out there. I am. Anybody playing against Oklahoma,
well,
I am rooting against them strongly. But, you know, if you don't want to do that on your field, then you got to win the game. So it still comes down to Ohio State not winning the game at the end of the game.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day.
Yes, as Warren Sapp used to say, if you don't want them dancing in the end zone, you got to keep them from getting there.
Right.
Exactly. Yes, and that's true. But I think if you are a real Ohio State fan, Ohio State still has a chance to be Big Ten champions and go the rest of the season undefeated. So I think if you look at this thing from a fan standpoint and get into the playoffs, if you're Ohio State, you actually have to root for Oklahoma because you want that one loss to look really good.
And so from a
fan perspective, if you go on and win the rest of the season, you want that one loss to look really good, and you want Oklahoma to be successful because that one loss, hey, if we lost to that team, then it may not be so bad, and you still can get into the playoffs.
Well, I'm too close to it right now. So, yes, you're right, and the objective part of the Jaquan Jenkins brain agrees with you. But the part that is not objective does not. But I hear what you're saying. You need that to be good on your resume as a quality loss. So and they have a chance if they run the table. You're right,
wow.
But yeah, I'm not all the way objective. So, you know, I'm just gonna be honest. I hope that he gets his block knocked off. But that's just me as an Ohio State fan. But like I said, the SAP quote: if you don't want him to dance, keep him out the end zone. So you have control of that at the end of the day, and they didn't control what they could control. And you got to tip your hat to them, and you got to move forward. So it's all good.
Yeah. And the turnovers really was cost them in that game. And the difference in the quarterback play and the turnovers was obviously the difference in that game. But the personnel, Ohio State still has the personnel. They just can't turn over the football like they did the other night.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed.
Wow. All right, gentlemen. Get some rest, guys. We will catch you guys again, same time, same channel, next week. It's been a pleasure. I wasn't trying to rile you up, I promise. I was not trying to rile you up.
Oh, no,
JQ,
you.
So just remember.
I'm good. I flushed it. I'm good. Once you flush it, you're straight, right? I flushed it.
Oh, yeah.
So it won't hold me up at night. I'm good. I appreciate you, though.
All right.
That's the tough part about coming on this show. When your team look bad, you got to come over here and talk about it like I had to with my Saints, too.
Yeah, you got to be objective. You got to say if your team sucks and they stunk, that you got to own it and admit to it. So it is what it is.
That defense is who I thought it was.
I'm not gonna lie, that was just a little rough, bro. It's just one of those, man. I mean, there's not much to say about
that. There's no
sugarcoating
it. They got whooped. There's no sugarcoating it. They got whooped. You got to take it and move on.
Yeah, that's why I don't play a lot of junk.
You gotta take
that
ass whooping like a man.
You gotta take that like a man. come get this ass whooping. What was that from? Come get this ass whooping. Remember that? He was like, come on and get this ass whooping.
Yeah. Who else want to mess with Hollywood Cole? That's how I feel. Like laying on the ground, knocked out. You gotta be like Big Sean and bounce back.
Oh, man. Big Sean and bounce back. Oh, man. Love it, man. All right, guys. We will see you guys. Let's wrap this up. We'll see you guys next week for sure, guys. Have a good evening, okay?
All right, Jake.
Good night, people.
You too, man.
Yep.
I'll
good night, peeps. Yep.